I knew a guy that thought he had the answers. Day after day, he would convince himself that he knew it all. He stopped searching for the truth. He thought he had possessed it. But it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. I knew a dog who found himself a bone and he buried it, he cherished it, and kept it for himself. One day he tried to dig it up, but no, he couldn't find it. So it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. I knew a preacher who preached all false doctrines. Week after week, he lied to the sheep and caused them all to stray. One day he died and stood before his maker. And it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. I knew a woman who was so independent. She had a job, a career, and didn't need a man. Far too late, she thought she'd have some children. But it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. I knew a snake who pretended to be human. He laughed, he smiled, he acted out the part. He had so much money, he thought he'd never lose it. But it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. It turned out bad, man. Yes, it turned out bad. It turned out bad, man. Yes, it turned out bad. You're listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network here at eurofolkradio.com. You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. This is coming to you from davidjamesboston.com. Your resource for good articles, some education, lots of shows, music, artwork, and sheer enjoyment. Be sure to visit davidjamesboston.com soon and come back again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we continue on in this journey exposing both the Jehovah Witnesses and the Masons. And it's amazing the parallels between these two organizations. We've learned many things. We've learned that the name Jehovah is not anything to do with the Father in heaven, but is a devil's name. It's another of the devil's names. Not to be confused with Yahweh, of course. So, let's take a look. You would be amazed at the information that I am coming across, and I'm learning so many things, and I'm ready to teach you some incredible things that I think you're going to be shocked at. So we're on page 69. Yeah. And it says this is another of the parallels between these two organizations. And they say God uses orders, ranks, and degrees, and oaths. Russell. These are the type of things Russell thinks about. Within Masonry, there are several arrangements of orders. One is a three-order arrangement. One finds Russell also creating various orders and arrangements of orders. Russell gave a sermon saying there are three orders or classes of elect ones. In another place, he appears to have the elect divided into 5 degrees. Connor W.T., Watchtower, The Teachings of Pastor Russell, Fort Worth, Texas, printed before Russell died, page 53. Connor lists 5 types of salvation, that is, 5 groups who receive different degrees in the future life, according to Russell. You've heard of 5-point plan of Satan. You've heard of the 5 families, mafia families that run New York, etc., etc. You know that the 5-pointed star is the Edomite star. When it's up, it's the children. When it's down, it's their father, the devil. Same old, 5 different types of salvation. Professor of systematic theology in the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, Watchtower Connor, said, regarding Russell's degrees of salvation, I have heard people talk about degrees in heaven or in rewards, but Mr. Russell has nearly as many varieties of salvation as there are pickles of a certain brand. Almost 57 varieties. Not only is the scheme complex in that it has so many degrees, quote-unquote, of salvation, but also in that it tries to be a plan of redemption based on atonement, appropriated by faith, and yet constantly runs backward to works as a basis. In newspaper sermons of C.T. Russell, 1901 to 1910, also known as Harvest Gleanings, Volume 2, printed by Chicago International Bible Students, an article by the National Labor Tribune on July 4th, 1906, covering Russell's July 106 sermon, God's Very Elect, quote-unquote, has a part entitled 3 Classes of Elect Ones. The elect, or little flock, quote-unquote, of this gospel age, which alone will constitute the bride class, otherwise called the body of Christ, and which is to share with the, he uses the word Lord, you know who that is, the kingdom honors and glories, it made so prominent in the scriptures that the 2 other classes of elect ones are in comparison not very conspicuous. Refer to chapter 8 for more on this. Masonic views are on the next page. Masonry. These oaths of obligation, usually called just obligation, are considered unbreakable and are collectively the thing that makes a man a Mason. In this way, these oaths are the cornerstone of Masonry. The Deadly Deception, page 139. Number 1. Question. What makes a man a Mason? Answer. My obligation. Question and answer from the entered apprentice first degree. Number 2. Binding myself under no less a penalty than that of having my throat cut from ear to ear, my tongue torn out by its roots, and with my body buried in the rough sands of the sea, a cable's length from the shore, where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours, from the oath of obligation entered apprentice, first degree. Can you imagine? I mean, imagine the first degree, you're taking an oath like this, and you got to be saying to yourself, Whoa, that's some serious stuff. Geez, I think I remember reading in the Bible somewhere. It says not to take oaths on anything in heaven or earth. It's crazy. Ain't it crazy? And here, these so-called men getting these people to take these crazy oaths. Number three, binding myself under no less a penalty than that of having my left breast torn open, my heart plucked out, and given to the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air as prey, from the oath of obligation fellowcraft, second degree. Number four, binding myself under no less penalty than that of having my body severed in twain, my bowels taken out and burned to ashes, and the ashes scattered to the four winds of heaven. From the oath of obligation, Master Mason, third degree. All these blood oaths are given at the end of initiation into all Masonic degrees, binding the initiate to protect the secrets of the degrees. Let me make a little comment, though. When you know what it means to be severed in twain, right? It means to be severed in two. Think about that. Mark Twain. Mark two. Does this mean that Mark Twain is a double-minded man? I don't know. Next parallels in their beliefs. Abraham and Melchizedek had progressed to a high degree in God's secret order. Russell. Chapter 8 will touch on Pastor Russell's belief in another reference would be the Overland Monthly, page 105. There, Russell discusses how the order of Aaron transfers to the order of Melchizedek. You know that Aaron, who Aaron is. Aaron was, you had to be of Aaron's bloodline to be in the priesthood. So you know that the last of Aaron's bloodline was killed off by Herod the Edomite Jew. And that's when he brought the Edomite Jew Pharisees and Sadducees into the order, you see, into the priesthood, I should say, rather than order. So it says here that how the order of Aaron transfers to the order of Melchizedek. In a related issue, the Urim and Thummim, Russell felt that these shined on and off to give the high priest a yes or no answer. Volume 1, Studies in the Scriptures, page 49, and what Pastor Russell said, page 728. Now in Masonry, Joseph Smith Jr. seems to have learned some of these items from the Masons. You know who Joseph Smith is, right? Remember I told you that Mormonism, they do the first three degrees of Masonry. They also have the pentagram on their church, some of their churches. And they have very strange beliefs. This is not Christianity at all. So it says right here, Joseph Smith Jr. seems to have learned some of these items from the Masons. It is generally supposed that the Essenes were the custodians of this knowledge and also the initiators and educators of Jesus. If so, Jesus was undoubtedly initiated in the same temple of Melchizedek where Pythagoras had studied 6 centuries before. Why is he, Jesus, referred to in the newer part of the Testament as called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek? The words after the order make Jesus one of the line or order of which there must have been others of equal or superior or even superior dignity. Masonic, Hermetic, Kabbalistic, and Rosicrucian symbolical philosophy. Page, boy, it's a long one here, 178, I think it is. I don't know why I even bother reading that to you. Next one, next
parallel belief, God built the Great Pyramid, perhaps by Melchizedek. Here's what Russell believes. Pastor Russell's teachings on the Great Pyramid and its hidden messages were a prominent part of the man. In fact, he had himself buried under a pyramid. Volume 3, Studies in the Scriptures, page 313 through 369, are devoted to informing readers how wonderful the pyramid's messages are for the world. Its perfection, Russell thinks, proves some master architect, God, guided its construction. But you know who the grand architect of the universe is, right? Yeah. Morton Edgar, an inter-Bible student, quotes Petrie from several indications it seems that the Masons planned. Page 54 and on page 11, the pyramid, quote-unquote, is the Bible of divine origin, erected for the purpose of teaching the important truth of God's infinite wisdom and foreknowledge. Page 12, Shem, or Melchizedek, built the Great Pyramid. During Russell's life, the Bible students were given pyramid charts of different kinds. And if that's true what he was saying there, Shem is the white man, right? So the white man built the pyramid, so what happened to the black? The black man can't even make a wheel, never mind a pyramid. Masonry, what do they believe in this? Concerning the Great Pyramid, the Freemason book, The Signs and Symbols of Primordial Man, explains, some of our signs and symbols are those used to represent the astronomical mythology of the ancient Egyptians and the whole of the world as far as can be present traced. And afterwards, as sacred symbols, when the mythology was perfected in their eschatology, in that Great Pyramid of Giza was the first and still remains the greatest Masonic temple in the world, open to all Masons who can read symbolically what was written in stone ages ago. Teaching the principles that we teach to all just upright and true Masons, there's nothing to fear, and that the Grand Master waits above, ready to receive with joy the souls of those who failed not in the hour of trial. I hope you're listening. Side by side with his Masonic mystery have come down to us various papyri of sacred writings, which have been called Ritual of Ancient Egypt, or the Book of the Dead. And it is to this we turn for an explanation of the mysteries of the monument. Not only in the pyramid, however, were these rites and ceremonies practiced. We believe if we could obtain the whole papyri of the pyramid, we should find a perfect ritual of the various eschatological ceremonies. Eschatological ceremonies. So in other words, what Cooper was saying before was that the pyramid was a temple of initiation. And, you know, the top of the pyramid, that was something that was going to bring in the New World Order. In Daddy Bush's time, in the year 2000, that's why it was talked about, we're going to party like it's 1999. And on 2000, they were going to put a golden capstone on the top of the pyramid in Giza, announcing the Jew World Order. It never happened. Remember that? I just wanted to point that out. Now back to the book. Both interested in Egyptology, both Russell and Masonry, there is so much documentation to this in other portions of this book that this needs no further documentation. Later chapter will deal more with this aspect too. In regards to the specific topic of the prophetic significance of the Great Pyramid, the following information may be used in showing the connection between Russell's pyramidology and the Masons and Rosicrucians. The Rosicrucians have published a number of studies on the prophetic and hidden meanings of the Great Pyramid. A Rosicrucian book from Russell's time period on the topic is The Symbolic Prophecy of the Great Pyramid by H. Spencer Lewis. Lewis. Yeah. Lewis Jewish. Another more recent Rosicrucian book on the Great Pyramid is Peter Lemassieu's The Great Pyramid Decoded. Next parallel. Both do not understand the atonement of Christ as Christian theologians understand it. Both believe in works salvation. So you know the Apostle Paul would have went nuts on these people, right? That should be very clear to you. So, Russell. Russell's views have been well documented by many others. Masonry, a common theme from ex-Masons, is that they are taught that they live by the organization's precepts. If they do that, they are free from sin. Are you digging that? Listen again. This is important. This is very important for you to Neshab. A common theme from ex-Masons is that they are taught if they live by the organization's precepts, they are free from sin. Which means you don't need Christ to be free from sin. You understand that? That you can work out your own salvation through following this organization's precepts. This is insane. This world is insane, folks. Claude McClung's book, Why I Left Masonry, page 94, describes this. Redemption is a matter of self-improvement. Let me stop right there. You know, when I was younger, I could tell that this fellow was a demon and full of demons. And he was a Mason, and his name was Robert Schuller. He barely ever mentioned the name Jesus or anything important. He was always talking about improving and how you can do anything you put your mind to, and you're wonderful, and you're, you know, it's all about you and your feelings and all this different stuff. This is another ear tickler. And I knew right away that this wasn't from the Father, because the Father seems to let me know these things. I don't know how or whatever, but I could see inside of this fellow was, it was bad news. Just interestingly, this filthy, dirty Mason, and I don't know if Schuller was a Jew or not, when he passed away, he left the Crystal Cathedral to the Catholic Church, to Babylon. He didn't leave it to the Masons. He left it to Mother Babylon. Isn't it funny that he left that church to them? And I don't think we hear any more about that church. I really don't know. I haven't heard anything about it for a long time. Anyway, so I think that's really interesting that he gave that to them. But anyway, so we'll move along. So again, listen to this. Redemption is a matter of self-improvement, obedience, and good works. Nothing is taught about faith in the atonement of Christ, but instead is a step about faith, is a step-by-step enlightenment, achieving by going through the degrees. That's what Gnosticism is. With their initiations and mysteries. The following Masonic references will substantiate this. Excuse me, I'm changing the page here. By the lambskin, the Mason is reminded of that purity of life and reciprocity of conduct, which are so essentially necessary to his gaining admission into the celestial lodge above. Where the supreme architect of the universe, and now he's called supreme, sometimes he's the grand architect of the universe, where he presides. Albert Mackey, Encyclopedia of Freemasonry. And that's the word apron. Remember now, this is a copy of what happened in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, and the Father covered them. Okay, that's what they covered their genitals with fig leaves first, and the father covered them later. Okay, now the Masons, I told you that that represents that they have eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and are on their way to becoming gods. That's what this apron is all about. So by the lambskin, the Mason is reminded of that purity of life and recessitude of conduct, which are so essentially necessary to his gaining admission into the celestial lodge above, where the supreme architect of the universe presides. That's not Yahweh, you know. Don't be fooled. Number two, and in thy favor we may be received into thine everlasting kingdom to enjoy in union with the souls of our departed friends the just reward of a pious and virtuous life. Amen, they say. So mote it be. Texas Monitor, Masonic Burial Service, page 10. In Egypt, number three, Greece, and among other ancient nations, Freemasonry was one of the early agencies employed to effect improvement and enlightenment of man. Enlightenment. In other words, this is from the promise of the garden. You can become as gods, knowing good and evil. You could be like a god. And the torch of Prometheus bringing you this enlightenment. 2001, A Space Odyssey. They touched the stone and became enlightened. Part of enlightenment was understanding and learning how to kill, by the way. That was the monolith. When the monkeys touched the monolith, they began to kill too. See, that's what the fallen angels did. They came down and brought us information that the Father did not wish us to have. So when these monkeys touched the monolith, they received enlightenment. And a monkey killed another monkey and started beating him with a stick. I mean, with a bone, excuse me. See, they taught us how to have war and how to kill and how to crossbreed, mix the races, mix with animals, mix the seeds of the ground, taught the women how to put on makeup to entice and deceive, and how to use the herbs of the field for witchery. Let's say. So, let me continue with this now. In Egypt, Greece, and among other nations, Freemasonry was one of the early agencies employed to effect improvement and enlightenment of man and make them comprehend the true principles of morality. Oh, really? You mean like the ends justify the means? Yeah. Which initiate men into a new order of life. Dan Sickles, Ahiman Rezon of or Freemasonic Guide, page 57. See, a new order of life. A new order. See how it's all a copy of what happens with us in the scriptures. That we are the light of the world, and he is that light that lights all men. Right? Speaking of the word. Jesus Christ, right? See how they try to copy it? Only theirs is enlightenment and intellect, and ours is wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Number four here, back to the article. If we with suitable, this is not scripture, this is Masonic beliefs here, so be careful. You don't want to adhere to this nonsense. If we with a suitable true devotion maintain our Masonic profession, our faith will become a beam of light and bring us to those blessed mansions where we shall be eternally happy with God, the great architect of the universe. Understand that that God is Lucifer. Understand that he's promising them mansions as the Father has talked about we would have mansions. Isn't that interesting? Number five, Acacian. That's A-C-A-C-I-A-N. A term signifying a mason who, by living in strict obedience to obligations, and precepts of the fraternity, is free from sin. Mackey, Lexicon of Freemasonry, page 16. Number six. Remember I told you that the number for man is six and the number of perfection is seven for a total of 13. 13 means man perfected. Man has become God. I'll explain it to you again. In Masonry, and this is from the book Hidden Life in Freemasonry. I'm trying to explain this. I've explained it before, and I want you to understand this. Because I was thinking about this the other day, and I get it. I got something else out of it. It says that when you achieve the 33rd degree, you have become linked with the spiritual king of this world, who is this God, the great architect of the universe. You understand? So you have attained perfection as a man. And I used to have a song a long time ago, Break the Spiritual Chains of the Dark One. See, when you're linked to the king of this world, you're spiritually linked to him. That means you're bound to him. You're chained to him because there's links in the chain. You understand what I'm saying? So man perfected means that you have become God. You have attained Christhood. Remember again, I'll repeat this to you, that the secret doctrine of Freemasonry is that all men or all Masons are on their way to becoming Christ and becoming God. Just as Jesus had attained Christhood. You see? Now, this is a bunch of malarkey, as you well know. The Christhood, so in other words, that's the secret doctrine of Freemasonry, that you can become a god. This is right, the promise from the garden. You understand? And the devil or Lucifer, the Lightbringer, Halel, you see, is using these men to try to get himself off the planet. So, man perfected, man becomes God. The 33rd degree, 3 times 3 is 9. You're linked with the spiritual king of this world. And the king of this world, supposedly, is Lucifer. You're linked to the devil. Number 9 links you. And you've become a god, as he promised in the garden. You understand? Okay, so I just wanted you to understand that. And the secret word is the Christ within. The replacement for it was Mahabon. I don't mean it replaced it totally. I mean that it was used in place of it. Because they didn't want to use the real lost word, which is the Christ within. In other words, you're on your way to becoming Christ. Becoming God. Christ is a title. More parallels. Neither believe the new birth is needed. Russell's teaching on the mystery led him to teach a new covenant that was totally in the future. However, for some years, his followers were misled by a WJ article in September 1881, page 151 through 153, where Russell wrote, quote, "In a sense, the operation of the new covenant begins with the gospel church and lifts us from the plane of degradation and sin to a justified or reckoned perfect condition." Hello? Did you just hear what that just said? What did I tell you? Man perfected. Man becomes God. Now you know why the Jews and the B'nai B'rith are running this thing from the background. They loved, the rabbis went to hear Russell all the time preach. It continues. Russell, in January and February of 1907, unequivocally announced that we see most distinctly that the new covenant belongs exclusively to the coming age. What is that coming age, ladies and gentlemen? The Golden Age. The Golden Age. You see why they wanted to cap the pyramid with a golden capstone representing their god, Lucifer? The Golden Age. Are you connecting the dots with me, ladies and gentlemen? You see, I can see these things because the Father allows me to see them. And it's not like I've read 100 Masonic books. I haven't. But I understand what I have read. I have read some materials on this stuff. But you see, the devil wants to waste your time. You don't need to read 100 Masonic books to find out about Freemasonry. I just told you almost everything you need to know in reality. Remember, I've told you this so many times, and it is one of the themes of this year, and that is the devil wants to waste your time. So, Masonry. This was documented in the preceding page. So, both felt blacks were inferior to whites. Well, they got something right. Russell urged his Bible students not to waste tracts on blacks. I agree 100%. Russell desired the reputation of not being prejudiced and for being for brotherhood. But his actions and words tell a story of racial discrimination. In the Golden Age, July 24th, page 207, Russell is quoted, "There is no servant in the world as good as a colored servant." I don't agree. "And the joy that he gets from rendering faithful service is one of the purest joys there is in the world. For many years, Negroes were not allowed to attend regular conventions, but were furnished with their own." For that's the same in Masonry, by the way, the Prince Hall Masons. For more references on Watchtower racism, the reader can look at page 285 of The Apocalypse Delayed and The New Leader, 17th of October, 1955. Russell's view of women wasn't high. In the New Testament Creation, page 265 and 6, he states that women are Satan's most effective tool. The adversary has found women his most effective tool. He further speaks of women's limitations and repeats his thoughts. The great adversary who, although ready to use either sex as his tools, has always found women his most sufficient representatives. Who could disagree with that, ladies and gentlemen? Masonry. Interestingly, Freemasons, just like Russell, wanted to be viewed as committed to the brotherhood of man. Of course, they're preaching fraternity, liberty, fraternity, and equality, right? I mean, they'd have to pretend that they believe in all that. But yet they had racist policies and made anti-black statements. Freemasonry and American Culture, page 9 and 10. Neither the Watchtower nor the Masons were in the vanguard to change racism, but they have gone with the flow and are now different. Still, in most states, Negroes and women are still excluded from the Masonic Brotherhood. There is a Negro Masonic system named the Prince Hall Lodge, but it suffers from lack of recognition and is referred to as an illegitimate imitation, quote unquote. Well, Freemasonry is an illegitimate imitation of the real church. Women, because they are excluded from lodge membership, remain in a sense profane and limited even today. There is an Order of the Eastern Star, which is run by men for women, and the women do participate in some events. Well, how terrible. Okay, next parallel. Neither believe in missionaries. Russell. Many people will be surprised to learn that Russell didn't believe in missionaries. Russell took a world tour in 1912, which in many ways was just a way to prove what he already felt, that Christian missions were, their efforts were failing. And rightly so. Of course they were failing. Russell was very keen on recruiting. He was always advertising for preachers. He always was looking for ways to advertise himself and his religion. But his theology was that it was not God's purpose to convert the world in the gospel age. That would be done under perfect conditions in the golden age. The churches were running ahead of God and working against his plan to send out missionaries. God was only interested in his elect 144,000. See, this would confuse all of you if you don't understand. I hope you don't get confused by this stuff. This is what it is when you know what the real is, you can see plainly that this is a horrible and horrible imitation of the real. Now, had you not known the real, you might be fooled by the imitation. This is how important it is. I keep telling you this, that it's important for you to know the real. In trying to gain converts through missionary efforts, the churches had gotten rice Christians, and the churches had been polluted with pagan practices. You see, that is the truth. We were never meant to bring our scriptures to anybody but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And look what happens when you try. It's the same thing when you with equality. You try to bring these people to, well, you don't want them to be here, but the Jew brings them here to try to make them equal with you. And all that happens is you get brought down and polluted with pagan practices. Well, this is what happens. Listen to this very carefully, if you will. In trying to gain converts through missionary efforts, right, the churches had gotten rice Christians, quote unquote, and the churches had been polluted with pagan practices. That says it all, folks. That statement is very important in itself right there. And I'm going to highlight that statement because, my goodness, that says it. Right there. In the Watchtower, August 1st, 1923, page 227 says, not only have the heathen not been called during the gospel age, but the gospel called was turned away from them, deliberately and intentionally. St. Paul and Silas were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, and it was when they had thought to go into Bithynia, I think that's how you say that, they were also forbidden. Acts 16, verse 6 and 7. This must be strange to those who feel the most important obligation laid by Yahweh upon his people is to proclaim the gospel among the heathen. Later that year, the Watchtower, 11:15-23, emphasized how Paul had not tried to reach every village with the truth, the implications being that the message should be broadcast to the world only in a general way. So you say, Masonry. It's always been the policy to be low-key about recruitment. Generally, candidates wait for someone to ask if they want to join. This policy can hurt membership recruitment because people who would like to join are afraid to speak up, but wait, hoping they will be chosen. Reduced memberships have caused lodges in recent years to promote bringing in new members with new tactics. Very interesting. Yes, they've lost a lot of membership, praise the Father in heaven. And may they lose all their membership in the mighty name of Yahweh. This is a song. We're going to take a break here. This is a song from my album, To Begin to Destroy. It's about Jesus, Yeshua.
Oh, think that they'll be gods, but they're only men. Yes, every knee shall bow when this world ends. You give me the power to overcome. Yes,
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to DavidJamesBoston.com. This is the Saxon's Creed Radio Show. And we're certainly learning a lot of things, aren't we? We certainly are. We're learning together, you and I, because we love the truth. We love the Father. We love the way, the truth, and the life. And we know no man comes unto the Father but by the truth. The Word, or Yeshua, Jesus Christ. I thought I would take time to tell you about this song and maybe read the lyrics for you quickly, because it's a very interesting set of lyrics. I had written this song in the late 70s, early 80s, and it didn't get on the album until 2013 I put this album out, I guess. This is called Shining Sun, S-O-N. So some of these lyrics are from the original song, and some I added in after. But the first verse here is from the original song. A lot of it is, actually. But listen to this. You know that it says, there's an old saying that says, people that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, right? Well, listen to this. Because I'm a young man when I write this, and I think it's pretty an incredible thought. Glass houses are for people who turn to stone. You see, what that means is Big Brother is watching you. And it makes people, it binds people up. You know what I mean? So if you're living in a glass house where you could be watched all the time as they tell you you are, you turn to stone, in a sense. You don't feel the freedom to live. You don't feel, so here, let me read it to you. Glass houses are for people who turn to stone. All these big talking clowns, they act like clones, like the news. I feel them all listening on the phones. We are the guinea pigs fitting in their cones. Oh, but I can get it right before it's blown. It only takes a little time till it's shown. You give me the power to overcome. Yes, you are my shining sun. Loud voices cry in the wind, for there is despair. Non-criminals are pointed out without a care. The Fourth Reich surely coming, they're already here. And while we've all been sleeping, they stole our share. You know, speaking of what the Jews have done, the Fourth Reich has nothing to do with the Third Reich, by the way, and it's nothing to do with Germany. But we can get it right before it's blown. You know we've got to make up time or be overthrown. He gave us the power to overcome. Yes, he's our shining sun. Sing the song, the battle's won. Yes, he's our shining sun. The snakes are always hiding somewhere in the grass. Yes, they've covered up their tracks throughout the past. This vast occultic knowledge is now unmasked. They seek a one-world kingdom, but it'll never last. They think that they'll be gods, but they're only men. Yes, every knee shall bow when this world ends. You give me the power to overcome. Yes, you are my shining sun. Sing the song, the battle's won. Yes, you are my shining sun. Very pleased with that. I hope you enjoyed it as well. And now let's delve back into our material and continue with the Watchtower and the Masons. So let's see, we're at, we're here now on page 77, so I mean, we're cruising. 78. When the author reads Russell's writings and sermons, the emphasis seemed tainted with a Masonic angle. Bear in mind, several key Masonic themes are buildings, mysteries, orders, oaths, fraternal brotherhood, and secrets. The list of similarities could go on. Perhaps the similarity is best summed up by Charles W. Ferguson, 50 Million Brothers, when he states, Freemasonry had the supreme dexterity to replace a mysterious divinity with a divine mystery. This statement by a Mason awesomely and aptly summarizes the life work of Charles Taze Russell. Another quote, Freemasonry had the supreme dexterity to replace a mysterious divinity within a divine mystery, which we just read it, but he put it again to think about that. A supreme dexterity. Let's just quickly, I know what dexterity means, and I'm sure you do too. Skill in performing tasks, especially with the hands. Her dexterity with chopsticks. Synonyms. Deftness. Adeptness. Adroitness. Agility. Nimbleness. Handiness. Ability. Capability. Talent. Skillfulness. Skill. Proficiency. Accomplishment. Expertise. Experience. Efficiency. Effortlessness. Slickness, mastery, delicacy, knack, facility, artistry, sleight of hand, craft. They call masonry the craft. And you know who's the ones who are doing sleight of hand. Remember I talked about sleight of hand before? Finesse. Felicity, and more. These are all dexterity. Okay, we're on chapter 5, Secret Signals. The Freemasons have a reputation for using some secret signal to allow other Masons to know they are Masons. The secret symbol may be something like a capital A, which looks like the compass and square, drawn like a square and compass. Or it may be a buzzword. If during a job interview, Masonic references are slipped in and the candidate responds correctly, his chances of the job improve. If Russell were a Freemason, it can be expected he would broadcast that affiliation in some discreet way to the Brotherhood at large, meaning the Masonic Brotherhood. Albert Mackey's Encyclopedia of Freemasonry is still highly regarded by the students of Freemasonry. The encyclopedia reveals the great significance Masons give to such words as Jehovah. See, I told you the name Jehovah. What we've been revealed in this book is that the name Jehovah has nothing to do with Yahweh at all. The name Jehovah is one of the devil's names. So again, the encyclopedia reveals the great significance Masons give to such words as Jehovah, order, and light. There is no question that these words have far greater significance to the Mason than for Christians. Divine mystery, quote unquote, and the brotherhood of man are two key ideas with the Masons. In the last chapter, page 21, Mackey was quoted on how significant the word Jehovah has been for centuries for Masons. Is there any wonder, ladies and gentlemen, why it's called the Jehovah's Witnesses? Is it any wonder that a Catholic monk came up with the idea by mixing the word Yahweh with Adonai, mixing Yahweh's name with the word Lord, Adonai, and they come out with Jehovah? Is there any wonder? You don't mix with Yahweh. You don't mix with animals. You don't mix. Yahweh doesn't go for any of that mixing garbage. And all it can do is bring deviltry. In volume 2, Mackey's Encyclopedia under Light, page 593 and 594, Light. Light is an important word in the Masonic system. It conveys a far more recondite meaning than it is believed to possess by the generality of readers. Let's look this word recondite. I don't know what this means, but I'm sure all my white brothers do. I'm just the only one that doesn't understand it. You know, all you have known about this word your whole lives, and you know, I'm not teaching you anything new. You all knew it. Okay, recondite. It's an adjective of a subject or knowledge little known, abstruse. The book is full of recondite information, which means little known or abstruse. Synonyms: obscure, abstruse, arcane, esoteric. You know the difference between esoteric and exoteric, right? You don't? My white brothers don't know the difference? Nah, say it ain't so. Exoteric means the outward. Esoteric means hidden. You know. Little known. You know, the exoteric is the obvious, is, you know, what the most people know, what the profane know. And the esoteric, is the hidden knowledge, so to speak, the occult knowledge. So it's more words, little known, recherché. That's a French word. Cherche means to seek for the truth, to search, recherche. I'm not sure that must mean to research, I guess. But cherche means to seek. Abstract, deep, profound, cryptic, difficult, complex, complicated, involved. Back to the document, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry I had to catch up with all of you in my knowledge. You know, I don't know everything, and it's very, it's clear to me I don't know everything, and it doesn't bother me at all, because that's why I'm trying to learn things, because I don't know everything. It's just that simple. It conveys a far more recondite meaning than is believed to be possessed by the generality of readers. It is, in fact, the first of all the symbols presented to the neophyte and continues to be presented to him in various modifications throughout all his future progress in his Masonic career. Very interesting. Career. You make a career of being Masonic. Very interesting. It does not simply mean, as might be supposed, truth or wisdom, but it contains with itself a far more abstruse, which means the same as recondite, allusion to the very essence of speculative Freemasonry, and embraces with its capacious signification all the other symbols of the order. Charles Taze Russell uses Masonic buzzwords so often that someone familiar with the Masons has reason to suspect something. Masonic buzzwords hum through his writings on almost every page. The author counted the word frequencies of some prominent Masonic buzzwords in the first 88 pages of Volume 1, Studies in the Scriptures, and came up with the following statistics for word frequencies. Light, 62 times. Mystery, 46 times. Some form of Masonic term for God, great architect or divine architect, 5 times. Fellowship of Mystery, 2 times. Secret, 3 times. And the Golden Age, 2 times. You think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Seriously. You see, just like symbols, all I'm telling you, I'll make a comment, is symbols that you see every day are for those who understand what these symbols mean. They're not for the profane like you and I. Of course, I understand what a lot of them mean. Probably not all what they mean, though. And once you begin to understand these things, you begin to understand the corporations, what the corporations are telling you. You have seen, ladies and gentlemen, that the corporations have turned against the white man who brought them to power. And this is what I always talk about, is these corporations need us in the beginning until they become big enough to eat us. When they become that big, they turn on us and chew us up and kill us. That's what these corporations are doing. These drug companies, these Coca-Cola, they know that there's cancer in the cancer-causing agents in the way they color the soda. And so much more, you know what I'm talking about. But they give away who they really are in their iconery. And those who know what these signs mean understand them. You've seen that all of them have gone against God, the Father in heaven, Yahweh, and they've gone against the Israelite nations and the peoples, the indigenous true Israelites of the Israelite nations, and they've gone with the queers and the Jews and all the rest of the weirdos in the world. You see that, right? So let's continue with the document. One would be hard-pressed to find any evangelical Christian writer expounding on Scripture with such a style of word frequency. In all of this author's life, he had never heard a single sermon where a Christian church is referred to as the Fellowship of Mystery, quote-unquote. In the commendation to the Plan of the Ages, Russell, his Volume 1, C.T. Smith, who writes it, sounds suspiciously Masonic. He calls Russell a philosopher and writes, light, more light, is the watchword. And what would you be doing on the watchtower? That was me putting that in. This sounds like a Masonic ritual. More light is the watchword. Light, more light is the watchword. This sounds like a Masonic ritual, where the initiate is told the magic word to seek is light. This has more meaning when it's realized that Russell uses Masonic symbols. What symbols does he portray on watchtower covers? Originally, Zion's Watchtower and Herald of Christ's Presence had a watchtower and sun. Both symbols are Masonic symbols. Later, he adds that the Masonic Knights Templar logo, he added that, and then the Masonic Knights of Malta logo, which is the octagon, as that fellow says all the time. The Swissies. This chapter will deal with each symbol and its significance. Now listen, I'm not wasting my time here and I'm not wasting your time here. Don't let it be a waste of your time. Get the most out of it you can, folks. Neshab. That means listen carefully. Prick up your ears like a German shepherd. Neshab. In Hebrew. No, that has nothing to do with Jews. Watchtowers. To understand the importance of watchtowers to Masons, one only needs to understand that the origin of the Freemason is what it is. During the medieval times, the secret trade guild, which built the castles of Europe, developed passwords and a fraternal order. This craft guild of Masons throughout Europe was molded in 1717. See, that's where it came out in the UK. I remember that's the year that it really began big time in the UK, 1717. And so Europe was molded in 1717 into the present-day organization, much to the effort of the Presbyterian minister, James Anderson. According to Ferguson and his 50 million brothers, he combined Presbyterianism and existing lodges into a beautiful system veiled in allegory and illustrated by symbols. Another historian writes that Anderson took Christianity out of the Masons and instead established it on the principles of charity, fraternity, and mutual assistance. In the 1970s, on the inside cover, under the purpose of the watchtower, quote-unquote, one could read, "Every watchtower has its purpose." Listen. "It serves as an elevated place for a wide-awake person with sharp vision. It enables him to see far ahead into the distance and tell those below from whom he is a watchman what is drawing near, whether it is a danger against which to prepare or it is something good over which to be glad with strong faith and hope." Let me stop right there. The name Prometheus meant to be able to look ahead. And Epimetheus meant to look from behind. I have it here in a document. Let me just, so I can say this particularly so that you'll get it right. Okay, here it is here. This is from a document I've just found called The Nine Faces of Lucifer. Hello! The Nine Faces of Lucifer. And this is from Phase 2. I'll eventually get to reading this with you, perhaps. But, you know, this is funny that, you know, I've already taught on Prometheus on one of the fireside chats, which was amazing. Hopefully you'll hear that one. Hopefully you'll go and listen to all of them again. Anyway, listen to this. The Greeks knew Lucifer as Prometheus the Titan, the son of Iapetus, also a Titan, and Themis, who is Chthon and G, or Earth. Listen now. His name means forethought, one who thinks ahead. Get it? One who's awake, and he's on the watchtower and can look ahead and think ahead. Or he who knows in advance. Who would know in advance? Of course, the man on the watchtower, correct? I'm just connecting this dot for you So you'll understand. So his brother, Prometheus's brother, was Epimetheus, whose name means he who considers too late, he who learns afterward or afterthought. I'm just giving you a little time to think about that. So let's get back to the other document. And again, now that I've read that to you, it says right here, every watchtower has its purpose. It serves as an elevated place for a wide awake person with sharp vision. It enables him to see far ahead, forethought, into the distance, and tell those below whom he is a watchman what is drawing near. Whether it is a danger against or which to prepare, or it is something good over which to be glad with strong faith and hope. However, the leader motive of the watchman as it occurs in the 1970s was not so strong in Russell's time. The idea of a castle tower was actually expressed in equal implication. During the 1880s and 1890s, Russell's publishing company was actually named Tower Publishing Company. However, due to a need to change his assets to prevent his ex-wife from getting anything, the Tower Publishing Company transferred all its assets on April 1st, 1898 to the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. The Tower Publishing Company published everything for Russell from the time he had quit, simply placing his name as the publisher. It ceased printing with April 1st, 1898 Watchtower. The next issue printed was by the WTBNTS. Gives us, you know, the Watchtower and Bible and Tract Society is what it is. And gives notice of the transfer and the inside of the cover. Russell referred to his magazine as Towers, quote unquote. Today, of course, they are called Watchtowers for short. The idea of the watchtower has not been entirely lost. There has never been any watchman portrayed by the society on the watchtowers. If it wasn't that castles were important to the Masons as a symbol of their work, then it wouldn't raise questions why of all of these many choices he decided to pick a castle tower as his central idea. His early issues carried a rising sun. The rising sun is another important Freemasonic symbol. However, it had also been picked up by the Adventists, too. Very interesting. And it shows you an example here of Zion's Watchtower. See? Zion's Watchtower. And they are Zionists. They are totally pro New World Order for the Jews, totally pro to it. Russell's followers continued to use the Egyptian Masonic term, the Golden Age, after he died. The following page, funny how he hasn't mentioned what I told you, that in 1914, the Jehovah Witnesses predicted the end of the world, or the return of Christ, so to speak. It never came true, as you well know. The following page shows a table of contents of a Golden Age magazine. Note also that its editor, Woodworth, authored part of the seventh, Studies in Scriptures, the seventh. The Golden Age is not a scriptural term, but is the ancient term used by the Egyptians for when men and gods would be in paradise together. I hope you're listening. Chapter 7 will cover this term in more detail. The Golden Dawn was a magazine and a society, a new society, during C.T. Russell's, Charles Taze Russell's time, that a Mason had started in 1887, the Golden Dawn. Remember? You know who is a member of the Golden Dawn, right? Mr. Crowley? This appealed to those people who rejected Orthodox Church teachings, yet also rejected atheism. The Irish particularly, very interesting. Okay, and then it shows the contents of the Golden Age. Maybe I'll read you a few of these things from the Golden Age, just the, you know, bullet points they are. The written Bible, the scientific Bible, the Pyramid of Giza. Great Pyramid receives much attention. Date of pyramid erection. And the pyramid represents the male generative principle. Get it? The pyramid erection? Although they mean the building of the pyramid too. Mathematical features of the Great Pyramid. Distance from Earth to the Sun. Precession of the equinoxes. Theology of the Great Pyramid. Downward trend of mankind. Prophetic chronology of the Great Pyramid. Bible chronology. The Jews left Egypt in 1615 BC. Christ returned in 1874 AD. Really? The World War in 1914. Ha ha ha, there it is. The last Jewish Jubilee due in 1925. Oh, that's very interesting, isn't it? So the Golden Age magazine's table of contents is full of how the Great Pyramid contains mystical secrets for Christians and how the pyramid is a second Bible, quote-unquote. A second Bible. So in other words, there's another mediator between Yahweh and man, and that would be the pyramid. You dig? The Irish, particularly George Russell, were attracted to this order and its Temple of Isis. How Charles Taylor Russell felt toward the Golden Dawn is not known, but his use of the winged sun disk, which was on the Temple of Isis, makes one wonder if he had contact with the Theosophical Society and the Rosicrucians. Perhaps it is coincidence, or perhaps it is an illusion or signal. When Russell explains his method of Bible interpretation, we have endeavored to build upon that foundation the teachings of Scripture in such a manner that, so far as possible, purely human judgment may try its squares and angles by the most exacting rules of justice which it can command. Plan of the Ages, page 10 and 11. Chapter 6. We're moving right along here, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think we'll get that far here, but we'll do what we can. Russell and the Masonic Knights Templar. On March 31st, 1912, a large crowd of 7,000 gathered in New York at the Great Hippodrome. Behind the famous speaker, Charles Taze Russell, was a large cross and crown, 25 feet high. Again, let me explain something to you about the cross and crown as a symbol. And I think a lot of people use this in Christianity and they don't know what it means. But the cross is the male and the crown, which is in a circular thing, is the female. As a matter of fact, the cross sits inside the female and is hooked on by one of its arms. It's the sons of God and the daughters of men, ladies and gentlemen. The male and the female. As above, so below, etc., etc., etc. Now back to the article, right? So this cross and crown that was 25 foot high, this emblem seemed to go everywhere Russell did. It was placed on convention souvenirs, on napkins at conventions, on the various periodicals Russell published, and on his stationery. Russell placed this logo on many items. See, what it has here is it has like a sun with rays protruding from it. It must be some kind of golden thing. If I was to count them, I'm not going to do it right now, but inside of it, there's the cross and the crown, the male and the female, the sons of God and the daughters of men. And he shows some examples of the watchtower here. Very interesting stuff. The two-headed phoenix. The Masonic reference book, History of Freemasonry and Concordat, orders, displays the Knights Templar logo. What's behind this logo? It is the Masonic Knights Templar logo. Who uses it? It is true that it has been used by a number of people, including some nominal Christians. The majority of times the author has seen this used, there are definite Masonic links to the people using it. The other times have been always been possible Keen Masons or Bin Masons. The Knights Templar are a Masonic order. Actually, to be more precise, there are several groups of Knights Templar. This chapter will explain who they are, the significance of the Knights Templar logo, and why Charles Taze Russell was most likely interested in them. And it shows what they call the Tetragrammaton, and it's inside, they put it inside of a circle, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 point star. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 point star, which is three pyramids. And I see something else here, too, from Masonry. So, the Theosophist was the 19th century periodical put out by the Theosophical Society in the USN. Sri Ram, a Theosophist writer, entitled a selection of Theosophist articles put in book form as On the Watchtower. The Knights Templar symbol was placed under the title, along with the words Knights Templar, underneath the symbol. Here is a case where Theosophy and Masonry are united in a book, and the two most prominent symbols of Russell, the Watchtower and the Knights Templar logo, are used together, on this occultic book. Very interesting. And I happen to know I see this cross and crown in a lot of places, and it certainly had made me suspicious, but now I'm even more suspicious. The Masonic structure showing the Blue Lodges, three orders, and the Red Lodges, you get it? In other words, the way I would look at this is the Blue Lodges are watered-down Freemasonry, and the Red Lodges are the Blood Lodges, are the Jewish, the communists, where you really get to the serious matter. Most Masonic Lodges are of the Blue Lodge, that is of the first three degrees. So you have Entered Apprentice, Fellow Craft, and Master Mason being the top three degrees. I'll read you these other degrees so you can hear some of them. Let me see what time we have. Oh, I don't think I will. We'll have to do that next week. Yes, it's been a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed this show, and I hope you're learning to decipher what's really going on in your world, our world. It's really not our world. It's the devil's world. He can have it. There's one thing for sure, though. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.